Okay, so in the Parsha, Parsha's Devarim, so the Torah tells us that Moshe has this encounter with Og. And it's interesting that Moshe kills Og. The Gemara is very clear about that in the last parak of Brachos. And the Psukim points that out specifically, that from the Psukim, we see that Moshe kills Og. And that's fascinating because although we find that Moshe, that he fights Paroi and he takes on the Mitzvim, we don't find that Moshe ever kills anybody via Yadayim. Even Dasan and Aviram don't go down via Yadayim. He orchestrates things in a way that he's able to be poilit, that it's not, there's no blood on his hands, actually. And even when it came to killing Bilam, who was Moshe's arch enemy, because we know that everything that Moshe had, Bilam had as well in the Tumah, Moshe doesn't do it. He sends Pinchas and he says, Kol HaMaskal B'mitzvah Amal HaGmor, we began, we should finish it off, yet there's this special haida'ah that the Torah has that Moshe is the one who kills Og. Like why it's Moshe's inyan to kill Og. Secondly, we know that Og has a history in the Torah. It's interesting that he spans Kamat the entire Torah. That Og goes all the way back to Noach and the Mabel, and he comes up occasionally throughout the Torah. And the fact that Og lives very long, as the Zeichet of the Sarichas Yama, is very interesting. Chazal speak about that. But we're going to focus on Oig's Hatzalah from the Mabel. Targum Yonison writes something very interesting in Perek Yudalid, part of Sefer Bereishis. He says, Oig ishtaviv min guvraya de misa b'tuvana. Oig was saved from the Mabel. V'rochav alei tevusa. He was riding on top of the teva. V'havigun in al-resha. He was on top of it. And every day, Noach would give him something to eat. And the lashon of Chazal in the Yaakov Shemayni Parshas Noach is, Ma'asa Noach, what did Noach do? Nakav chor echad, he made a tiny hole in the teva, and he would give Oig every day a little bit to eat. And the Pirkei Avot in Perek Chaf Gimel adds, and we'll finish talking about this in a second, Sheyashav Oig al Eitz Echad, that Oig was sitting on an eitz min hasulamais shel ha-teva, from the ladders of the teva. I guess there were ladders on the side of the teva which allowed a person to go to whatever floor he needed to get to. V'nishva l'nayach, and he swore to Nayach ul'banav and his children, Sheyihi Yilahem Evet Oilam, he would be a slave to them forever. Very interesting point. We have to figure out the significance of that. And the Targum Yonason continues and says, V'lav b'schusa ishtavet. It was not because of Oig's own schusa that he was saved. Elayhein, rather, d'yechman dari arva gevurti d'Hashem. That he was left as a remnant and as a zecher to the gevuras Hashem. That the future generation should see him, v'yeman, and say, Halo gevray d'habman l'kanman. The strong ones who came before us, Mardu b'mari amo, they rebelled against Hashem, v'sheitzion, and Hashem destroyed them. So Oig was saved with the purpose of reminding future generations the fate of those who rebel against the masters, the fate of those who rebel against Rabbanu Shalom, the master of the world. So let's try to understand a little bit the significance of this Targum Yonason. And did this ever happen? Was Oig ever a zecher to anybody to remind them of what happens to those who rebel against their masters?
The zecher was for Og's fellow giants that died, or that Og himself was kept alive and then later killed?
Yeah, for future generations. Meaning, one of the reasons why he lived so long, he was like, quote-unquote, zecher tarichas yamim, was so that anybody who would see Oig would remember and know. He would tell them the tale, that I survived because there was a mabul, and the Olam was rebelling against Rabbanu Shalom, but I'm here to tell you what happens to those who rebel against the masters. So let's begin like this. The Torah says that in this confrontation between Moshe and Oig, Hashem tells Moshe, "Al tira oisai, don't be afraid of him." And Chazal and the Zohar Kodesh have different takes as to what exactly Moshe was afraid of. Zohar says the following thing. When Og saw that Bnei Yisrael was coming close, he said, and this is the translation, that he was batach b'zchusi shel mila, that he was b'teach in his zchus of his mila, yakdim izzchusam, that the zchus of his bris mila will override theirs, v'sam al zem iftachai, and he counted, and he was b'teach in his bris. And the Zohar says that Moshe was afraid of the bris. Why? Because this is the bris which he receives from Avram Avinu. Because the Zohar says that which it says in Pasuk Vayomal Avraham, that he gemalt himself, he gave himself a mila, this called Anshe Besai. Who is Anshe Besai? So the Zohar says this is Oig. Oig received the bris mila from Avram Avinu. And that's why Moshe was afraid. For Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to how the Zohar Kadosh reads the Pasuk. Al tira oisai. Don't be afraid of him. Al tira min ha'ois shalai. Don't be afraid of the ois bris kodesh. He who pogam ba'ois shalai. Because oig is a pagam bris. U'misha pogam ba'ois bris. He who is pogam in his bris. Rohi le'akam in ha'olam. He should be uprooted from this world. So this is the conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. So we see something fascinating. That oig, not only was he saved by Noach, but his interactions with Avraham Avinu, and the Torah considers him to be Anshe Beis of Avraham Avinu, and he received the mila from Avraham. What, however, does the Torah mean? Does the Zohar mean when it explains that Moshe has nothing to be afraid of because Oig was a pagim in his bris? Where do we find that Oig was pagim in his bris? So this reminds us of that which we find by Avram Avinu, which is the more popular interaction between Light and Avram. The Torah tells us that when Light was taken captive by the Arba Malachim, so it says, "Vayovay ha-palit vayagi l'Avram," that the palit came and told Avram. So the Medrash in this week's parasha says, "Who is the palit?" So the Medrash says, it's referring to Oig, that he was saved from the Mabul. And the Medrash offers us explanation more on the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar says, when Hashem, the Medrash says that when Hashem tells Moshe, Al tira yisai, don't be afraid, the Medrash Lashon is, B'yod chanasati yisai, I have already placed him in your hands. Kfar pasakti dinai mimoy savram, I already paskened his death, his fate, from the days of Avram, Shenemar Vayavu HaPalit, that he came and he told Avram about the news of Lot's captivity. So why is that? Why was that bad? It's because the Medrash says, Shalibo L'Shem Shemayim, he didn't come to tell Avram Avinu L'Shem Shemayim, El L'Naya Shal Sarah. It's because he had his eyes on Sarah. With this we can explain what it means. The Zohar tells us that Oig is a Pagan Bris. Why is he Pagan Bris? Because he was over on the Sachmar. He wanted to take Avram's wife. And he sent him into the front line so that Avram should die, miraculously saved, of course, but in order to take Sarah. So we see that although Oig had his chus that he was gemalt by Avram Avinu, nevertheless, it's a pagam bris from later which occurred, or I should say, actually this took place before that, before Avram got his bris. He was already a pagan bris because of what he tried to do to Avram Avinu. Now we have to explain and understand there's a very fundamental difference between Noach and Avram, and this will shed some light as to why Oig was able to save himself through the Tevas Noach. The Torah tells us, Esa lekim hisalech Noach, that Noach went before Hashem, with Hashem. Yet it says by Avram Avinu, but he got his bris, his halich lefanei that he is summoned. Go before me and be a summoned. And Rashi already points out in the beginning of Parshas Noach that Noach and Avram are very different. That Noach's halicha was with Hashem, yet Avram Avinu went in front of Hashem Kiru. And that's the lesson which the Torah says by the bris of Avram Avinu. That's the shevach of Avram Avinu. In fact, Chazal tell us that Noach was a tzaddik b'dor hazeh. And Rashi quotes an opinion in Chazal, that had he been in the door of Avram, he wouldn't have been Nechshav L'Klum. He wouldn't have been anything. Why is that? Because Tzadik always implies somebody who's a Shomer Bris. And Noach was a Shomer Bris. But in comparison to Avraham Avinu, he was not a Shomer Bris. Why not? First of all, we see from Noach that although he was spared from the Mabul, because the Bnei HaMabul, the Bnei Dor HaMabul, they were pagan Bris left and right, which is why their Einish was through hot water, which is like Zera. Noach was saved because in comparison to the Dor, he was a Shomer Bris, which is why he's called a Tzadik. But look what happens to Noach. Noach comes out of the Teva, and then he drinks wine, and then comes along Cham, the Ser Seiv Rivai, he's Poygim literally in the Bris of Noach, and we see the Mafreya that Noach, who really Noach really was, that there was something which is wrong with Noach's understanding, which meant that even Noach on some level was Poygim Bibris. Mashenkin Avraham Avinu, the Chazal are maflig in the Shevach Avraham Avinu, how he conducted himself with Sarah, that he never even saw Sarah for tens of years. He didn't even know what she looked like until she was taken, until he had to see her when she was taken by Parai. So we can't even compare the level of Shemiras of Bris by Avraham Avinu to that of Noach, which is why Avraham was given the mitzvah of Bris Milah and Noach wasn't. Hashem could have given it to Noach. It says that Noach was born already with a Bris Milah. And perhaps that's even why Noach considered himself to be a Ben Bris, like he was really like a tzaddik, because he saw, look at me. I was born with a Bris Milah. And in fact, Chazal say that even the Mishpach of Noach looked at me and said, this person is going to be great one day, because he was born already gemalt, and everybody had high hopes for him. Zayin Achameinu, Meitzvon Yadeinu, everybody thought that Noach was going to save the day. And he could have, and he should have. But he didn't. He became an Ish HaAdama. The reason why is because, just Alpi Musar and Hashkafa, it's important to recognize, even if a person is born with any talents or with a certain destiny of greatness, it doesn't mean that he can just, you know, push the auto button, the cruise control, and then everything's going to work out. The person has to work. Not even worked on himself, even though he came from Terach. He had a very long journey, but he became much, much greater than Noach. What we see is that Noach essentially was considered to be a Pagan Bris. And since Oig also was a Pagan Bris, he was able to find an Achiza to latch onto the Teva of Noach, because even Noach, although it wasn't quite as Gali yet till later, was a Pagan Bris. And we find that even in the Teva, the Torah tells us, Vayishar Ach Noach. Chazal say, why is it called Ach Noach? Ach is a lesson of injury. That the Ari came vihikisha and he hurt Noach in his regel. Regel always implies not just the legs, but even the Makom HaBris is called regel. Like we find by Bilam. Like Bilam, he was a very big pagan bris, and Chazal say that the Asayant, that the donkey of Bilam, that Bilam was very improper with the donkey, and the donkey gives Musar to Bilam saying, Lama zehikisani zeh shalosh regalim. Now, Rashi says Shalosh Regalim is a reference to the Shalosh Regalim that Klal Yisrael will celebrate. But in Pnimius, Shalosh Regalim implies that a human being has really three legs. And Kabbalah and Chassidus is called Netzach, Hoid, and Yisoid. The Netzach is the right leg, the Hoid is the left leg, and Yisoid is the Makom HaBris. And that's considered to be Shalosh Regalim. And each one of the Shalosh Regalim of Pesach, Shiv, and Sukkot correspond to these Shalosh Regalim that a human has, that we have. And the reason why the Asan's Musar to Bilam is Lama Zehikisani Zeh Shalosh Regalim is because that's exactly right. This Shalosh Regel, this Regel Shlishi, he was praying with the Asa in this Bilam. So as such, Noach, it says, Bo Ari Vihikishe Biraglai, that he hit him in the Regel, that's because Noach was a praying bris. That's why it says, Vaishar Ach Noach. That the Ari had reshus to do that because Noach wasn't a tzaddik on the level of Avraham Avinu. And that's why Oig has an achiza in the Teiv of Noach, because they share this similarity that since Noach is a Poygim Bris, so Oig is able to have an achiza there. And that's Marumas in the actual Lashon of Vayishar Ach Noach, because Ach Noach is Gematria Oig. To show that in that place where Noach is Poygim Bris, that's the place where Oig is able to have a Hatzalah and to ride onto the Teiv. So, now that we've established the history of Oig, and that Hashem tells Moshe nothing to be afraid, because Oig is a Pagim Bibris, and of course Moshe Rabbeinu is not a Pagim Bibris. We know the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that he was Pirish from Tzipira, and yet in Midaitai, and Moshe was on a totally different level when it comes to everybody was told to go back to their homes. Moshe Rabbeinu was on a different Madriga Lagamre. But even it's interesting that even Aaron and Miriam didn't understand the extreme levels of Moshe's Kedusha and Precious and Kedusha's Abris, that they spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, as if to suggest that although they were very great tzaddikim in their own right, they weren't masig truly the levels of Moshe Rabbeinu when it came to Kedusha's Abris. Now, let's further this discussion of Oig. Chazal tell us in Brachos and Daf Nadal and Mibes that when Oig saw Bnei Yisrael coming, he made a quick equation as to the size of the Machane Yisrael, and he said, "They're Shalosh Parsa." So he said, "Let me take a mountain with the Shalosh Parsa, and I'll throw it on the Jewish people, and I'll do away with them in one shot." So Hashem made a nes, and as this mountain he was holding over his head, Hashem invited some kamtzi. That's what they're called, kamtzi. And they made, it sounds like it's like a type of an ant or some type of a bug, and they made a hole in the middle of the mountain. It fell onto his head. He wore it as like a ring around his neck. His teeth became enlarged. It became stuck inside the mountain. And this allowed Moshe to come and to kill Oig. Very interesting, that whole discussion. So why are we sharing this? Because we find something very similar in the whole story of Oig as it lines up with Haman. So before we can understand the sugi of Haman, we have to speak about Amar Makom, which we've mentioned over the years, that which the Mefarshim say, it's quoted in Taras Moshe by the son of the Chassam Sefer, in a special section, I think it's called Shir Ma'oin, which is written by his son, I forget which son it was, maybe it's Reb Shimon, where he says, and I saw subsequently the other Mefarshim say as well, the Megillah tells us that Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman. Why? Because he said that he's a Yehudi. Pashup Shad is that Mordechai refuses to bow down because Mordechai is a Jew, and the Jew doesn't bow down to a Haman. Says the Mefarshim, another shot based on the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that Mordechai and Haman go way back. They were both generals in the army of Ahasuerus, and they were given certain rations, some portions to take with them to the Melchama, and Haman ran out very quickly. And he turned to Mordechai and he said, "Can I have some of your food? We're all going to die." Mordechai said, "Yes, of course, only on condition that you become my slave." And so Haman signed the shoe of Mordechai, and he gave himself away as a slave to Mordechai. And through this, Haman was spared. So point out the Mefarshim as follows. That would mean that if Haman is a slave to Mordechai, that he has a din of a Kenani. And the halacha of an Evik Kenani is that he has to go through a geirus. He needs a midl and a tefillah. If so, that means that Haman has a status of a Jew. So this is Chan Pasuk. Ki Gilan Asher Yehudi means that Mordechai was saying, because the Pasuk is very vague, not that Mordechai is a Yud, but that Haman is a Yud. And that's why it says right after, Vayimali Haman Chema. Haman was very upset about that. As the Mefarshim wanted to explain, there's nothing worse. You couldn't say a bigger insult to Haman than to call him a Jew. He was revealing his secrets. And that's the biggest insult possible. So it comes out that Haman also had a bris milah. And we find something very interesting. Already we see the correlation between Oig and Haman. Oig had a bris milah, and he was nizgah b'brisai. He felt that he can overcome Bnei Yisrael because of his bris. And the same thing is true with Haman. Haman felt that he was immune to Bnei Yisrael because I'm one of you. Right? The reason that you are the Am HaNivchar and above other nations and you always trump them is because Klal Yisrael's koyach is through the koyach bris. Like we find many times. But since Haman felt that he was also a Yid, and he also had a bris milah, that he would be invincible and immune to Bnei Yisrael. Okay. That's point number one. Secondly, there's a similarity between Haman and Oig, is that in the same way, as we pointed out, that Oig, although he was Nizgar B'Bisa, he was a Poigim Bris, which is the Shoresh of his downfall, the same thing we find by Haman as well. Chazal tell us that Haman was the one who created the beauty pageant. He was behind the scenes in that, and he also put Big son Vesheresh up to the task of killing Achashverosh. Why? All in all, he wanted to have the Malchus. And that means that he had his eyes on Esther. He wanted Esther to be his queen. I mean, Esther was a very beautiful woman, as we all know. And Haman had hoped that she would be his wife and his queen. Which, by the way, is the reason why, ultimately, Haman's downfall comes from Zeresh. Zeresh is the one who says, if you're falling in front of Mordechai, you're going to be a goner. And this is the way that a wife talks to her husband. She was the one who was backing it all the time, and now she says, you're going down. Teretz is because, on some level in Pnimius, he betrayed her because of what he wanted from Esther. And that's why the Megillah emphasizes, in Haman's death, it says, V'Haman noifel alamita asha Esther yosheves aleh. That Haman fell onto the bed, which Esther was on, and Ahasuerus comes in and says that you want to take her while I'm in the house? Hey, with such an azus? You're trying to take the Malka while I'm here? But the reason why that happened is it wasn't just a coincidence. It was because it was showing that he had his eyes on Esther. So although Haman may have been Mizgai Bebrisayim, Betech in his bris as well, but he was also a Poygim Bebrisayim, which is why his downfall was in that way, and Tavka B'yad Mordechai Tzadik, because Mordechai was a Tzadik. Every time a person is called Tzadik, like Naya Chatzadik means he's a Shomer Bris. So it was the fact that Mordechai was such a Shomer Bris, and in fact, all the years that he was away from Esther, who was his wife, never once was he Poygim Bris. So it was the Schus of the Kedushas HaBris that Mordechai had that he overcame Haman. So, more than that, we find, as we pointed out, that the Misa of Oig took place, as the Gemara says, Behadikamtzi, that there were these bugs, these ants, which took him down. The Lashon of the Gemara, as well in Megillah, is that when Haman is approaching Mordechai, and Mordechai thinks he's a goner now, and so they get into a conversation, and he asks Mordechai, what are you learning? He says, I'm learning Hilchos Kmitza. So when he hears that he's learning Hilchos Kmitza, so Haman says to Mordechai, Asin mole kumsa kimscha ditru, let a koimitz of kemach of yours come and be doicha alfi kikra kasvititi, my 10,000 shekel. So we see that in the same way that Oig's downfall was, as the Gemara says, the Isaacut Shabihu Kamsi binakli, that he said Kamsi, so too the downfall of Haman as well was, as the Gemara says, Asi Malekumsa Kimcha, which perhaps also connects to Kamsa Ubar Kamsa, two types of Kamsas, which has to do with the Chovim Mitzvah Mikdash, which we are dealing with in this time of Nisein Arab. Not only that, but even the fact that the teeth of Oig were so instrumental in his downfall, because it says that these ants, these Kamsi, they made a ring, and then his teeth enlarged and they came in. So we find the same thing as well by Haman. It says that Haman made a kitchuk on Bnei Yisrael, saying that they have shinayim ravavin, that they have very big teeth. That on Shabbos and on Pesach, they have very big teeth, that they indulge themselves in Shabbos, that they don't really keep Shabbos properly. That's called shinayim ravavin, that they have very big teeth. It's interesting that the very kitchuk of Haman that he makes on Bnei Yisrael, which is the root of his downfall, is very similar to exactly what happened to Oig. That he had these enlarged teeth, which was what caused his downfall.
That's what you're saying, right?
What we're seeing from all of this is that there's a correlation between Haman and Oig. And they both made also a very fundamental mistake. And that is that Chazal say that when Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, every single last one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, as it says in the Medrash, what are you, crazy? You want to return the world to Tayyub Avayu? What does Chazal mean? Because we know that the world survives because of Bnei Yisrael, the gracious Bishvil Yisrael. And to kill some Jews is okay. Not that it's okay, but the world can survive. But to kill every last Jew means a churban in the olam, not just a churban in Klal Yisrael. It's a churban ha'olam because the world can't survive without Bnei Yisrael. Oig tried to do the same thing. Oig tried to do the same thing because since he took a mountain which is three parsa and tried to put on the Jewish people who are three parsa, which means to kill every single Jew, you can't have a world like that. So fundamentally, everything was flawed because there has to be at least one Yid which survives. This has its roots, of course, in the Mabel, right? But the reason why the whole Indian of the Mabel is that the world went back to a state of Tov Avayu. And the reason why Noach was survived was because that meant that there would be a Jewish people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu it makes a promise, and this is the precedent, that you can't have a world without Klai Yisrael, so because that returns the world back to Tov Avayu. Now, with this, we can go back and to address the questions which we began with some Tosefta's beer. So, we explained that Moshe is the one who kills Oig. So why Davka is Moshe which kills Oig? So, if we go back to the Chazal, it says in the Medrash that Noach made a hole in the Teva, and he would give Mezayne b'chol yom v'yom. He would give Mazayn to Oig each and every day. And then it said also that Oig made a shvua to Noach, pick up the Belazar, but nishba l'Noach u'levanav sheyihi lehem eved oilam, that he would forever be a slave to Noach and his children. So that means to say that really Oig, as we see, he was a slave to Avraham Avinu. He was a servant in his house. In fact, it connects to that which Chazal say elsewhere, also by Rabbi Elazar, that really Oig is Eliezer Eved Avram, which is a totally different discussion. But we see that Oig swears to a lifetime of being an Eved to the children of Noach. Now, that makes sense. We know that Moshe was a Tikkun of Noach. because Noach was not mispalel on his door. And the very first roots we have of Moshe, the Gemara tells us in Chulin, Moshe min atar minayin. Where do we know Moshe? Because it says b'shegam hu basar. That's a lashon by the Marble. So the Marshim, the Ari HaKadosh explains that really Moshe was the neshama of Noach, and Noach had been mispalel on his door, he could have been Moshe Rabbeinu, but he didn't. So later on, when Moshe comes and he davens and says mechinina misifecha shekasavta, and he puts his life on the line, so the Zayah says mechini is the letters mei Noach, that he was mesakin the Mabel and Noach's participation by davening for Bnei Yisrael, so Moshe was a tikkun for Noach. So now we can understand why it is that Moshe is the one who kills Oig. Because Oig made a shvuah to Noach that he would forever be a slave to Noach and his children. So now here that Oig, who's supposed to be the slave of Bnei Yisrael, is coming and he's trying to destroy Bnei Yisrael, that's a merida in his master. In the same way that he was married on Avraham Avinu by trying to kill Avraham to take Sarah. So who other than Moshe, who's the neshama of Noach, to whom he made the shvuah originally, should come and to be the one and to kill Oig? Because the whole reason why he had a tzolah was because of this. Otherwise, he should have died in the Mabul. So since he violated the Shavuah, so Mamela, Moshe's killing Oig as if to say, you didn't survive the Mabul of Mafreya because you were over in the Shavuah, which you took to me. Because Moshe is a continuation of Noach. But furthermore, we can understand another Nakuda. The Medrash tells us, where did Haman get this eitz from that he wished to hang Mordechai on? So there's various opinions in the Midrashim. One Medrash says that he got it from the Teva of Noach. Because we find that one of the measurements in the width of the Teva of Noach was Chamishim Amma Rachba. It was Chamishim Amma. And the height of the eitz, very clear from the Megillah, was Chamishim Amma. So what do we see? We see that Haman was hung on an eitz from Teva. Why should he be hung on an eitz from the Teva? But the pshat is, it's pasha now. Because the whole inyan of Oig, the whole inyan of the Mabul, Targum Yonasan told us, was a zeichel ledoiras, that this is what happens to those who rebel against their master. And here, Oig rebelled, Slima. He ended up rebelling against Noach, and he had a similar fate as to the Bnei Mabul. He died by the hands of his master, which was Moshe. Haman did the same thing. Haman, much like Oig, over a parcel of bread, sold himself as a slave to his master, to Mordechai. But here, by the fact that he tried to hang Mordechai, was a merida in his master. But there was already a bris which goes all the way back to the Mabul, which is why Oig was alive, to remind all people, this is what happens to those who rebel against their master. So therefore, what better than to be nitla on the eighth of the Teva, which the whole thing came about as an aidus to those who rebel against their master. This is what they get in the end. So that's why Haman is nitla on the eitz from the Teva. But perhaps you can even add that if you go back to the Lashon of the Medrash and Perek Beis Lazar, listen to what it says. It told us that he took a shvuah to Noach and to his children be a slave forever. But it says, listen, sheyashav oig al eitz echad min hasulama shel Teva. That he sat on, it says, he sat on an eitz from the sulam of the Teva, which by the way, this was a nace. Because the Medrash says that in the Parsha, it says that Oig made a bed out of Barzel. Who sleeps on a bed of Barzel? So the Medrash says that Oig was so heavy that he couldn't make a bed out of eitz because he would have broke the eitz. So it's interesting. So to make a bed of eitzim, right, that's a problem. But to sit on an eitz of a sulam is not a problem. Elamai, it must mean that it was a nace, the fact that he was even saved by sitting on an eitz on the outside of the Teva. So that's why the Medrash says, Targum says, why was he saved? He was only saved in order to tell future generation, but even the fact that he was able to survive on an eitz on the side of the table was an eitz. So it could be that this is the eitz. I mean, it wasn't just that Haman was hung on an eitz from the teva, but the very eitz, shayashav oigal eitz echa mina sulama shel teva, that eitz. Why that eitz? Because it's the correlation between Oig and Haman. Oig rebelled against Noach, and that's why Moshe came, and since Haman did the very same thing, didn't learn the lesson from Oig, so that's why dafkan the eitz of Oig was Haman Mitzvah. Okay.
So, interesting, so Zeresh was also, she was a Mena Ephes. Does that have any shaykhs to this, or that's just coincidental? Like the Gemara says, it was the Gemara, the Bechol Ha'avav, so the Gemara Megillah, I think, darshins that she was Mizana with all the...
Interesting. Yeah. Pashas it to Korah, okay. So I have to figure that out. Oh, you know what? That may be very good because we find something very interesting. That that Chazal say that Sichon and Og were brothers.
Mm.
And Sichon also survived the Mabul. Why? Because Sichon was actually the son of the wife of Cham. What happened was that the wife of Cham was Mizana with the father of Sichon and Og. I forget his name, Sajat Hashin. And he was born on the Teva.
Wow.
Sichon was born on the Teva. And his brother was Og.
Wow.
So it could be that the reason why Og was also saved in the Mabul, other than the Pshat of the Targum Yonasan, could be as follows. Because we see that Noach was saved from the Mabul. It wasn't only Noach which was saved. In his chus, his whole mishpacha was saved.
Mm.
His children, and also even his grandchildren were saved. Why? Pshat is because Noach had a hatzolah for his entire mishpacha. This would explain, you know, why Sichon was saved. Because Sichon was also the mishpacha of Noach.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sichon was born, it was the grandson of Noach. Right?
Right.
So it could be that Og too. The reason why Og was saved because in the same way that Sichon was Mizana, came out of his nose between Cham's wife, so too it could be that Og was also from that union.
Mm.
And so it comes out that Og was saved not just because Stam was like he was the one who would be a Zecher, but because he was also Noach's Mishpacha. So it was like he's part of the family. That's why he was saved. But again, you see in the same way that there was nusim in the teva, not just mitzad the zachas, but also mitzad the nekevas. So you see that with Haman also, that Haman and his wife, they were both.
It's interesting because the whole Dor HaMabul was kehishkas kolbasa, but you see that it penetrated into the teva also. It wasn't totally.
Yeah, there's a medrash which says that. That not only did all the animals go into the teva, but even the midos went into the teva, like the sviros and the midos. So the Zayar says that in order for anything to enter the teva, they had to go as a zug, as a pair. Only zugim were allowed into the teva. So it says that Sheker wanted to go into the teva. Sheker didn't have a ben zug, so Sheker turned to Chisaron, to Pagam, and said, "I have an idea. We could be pairs because anywhere that there's Sheker, there'll be Pagam, or there'll be Chisaron." Says that Sheker and Pagam went into the Teva.
Mm.
They're also on the Teva.
Mm.
You see, there was a Pagam. He made a Pagam to Noach. And Sheker in the Teva, you see what happened with Cham, and there were certainly people who represented Sheker who were on the Teva also. It was not a Gan Eden by any means. It says that even that Eliezer met Noach, and Eliezer is really Oig. And it says, how were you able to survive on the Teva for all those for the entire year? It says, Noach said, we shvitzed.
Right, we worked blood.
Yeah, cough blood and everything. But that's Avis that he gave to Eliezer Eved Avram.
Right.
That turns out what happened inside the Teva. Oig was on the outside of the Teva.
Right.
Asking him what was going on inside of the Teva.
Right. And you also with the whole word, it's with Hashem's blessing. I mean, otherwise, like, why did Noach let some guys hang on to, like, the tzivui was just these people.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, this was part of the, was the mice and Misa, when Samush bin just hit his leg and died?
Yeah, it's